In your Bibles to St. John chapter 12. Before I read the text, how many have lost a loved one and you look forward to seeing them again? If I could only see them again. And hug them and love them. And then there's times following that thought, how many have ever said concerning someone, they're just like their father. They're just like their mother. Obviously, you're talking about good traits and not bad traits. But there is a desire to have fellowship with loved ones that is genuine. In St. John chapter 12, they are desiring to see someone that would be at the top of our list. It says, "The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus." When you come to church, I hope it would be the desire of every person, I want to see Jesus. I pray that the sermon uplifts Jesus. The Bible says, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. We want to see Jesus. When God was announcing that His Son was coming, He did so ever since the fall that happened in the garden. He predicted His Son would come. And there are so many ways God has been declaring that Jesus would come. So many prophecies about Him coming the first time, which Jesus declared to the two on the road to Emmaus, everything that the prophet said concerning me, I fulfilled them. One of the ways God has arranged for His Son to be known was to send people before Him who were not the Son of God, but nonetheless they would have characteristics and traits and events in their life that would be much like Him. We might say He's just like His father or she's just like her mother, but seldom do we say He's just like His great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, because we don't live that long to know the great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. But God sent people to have traits and characteristics that would represent His Son before He came. It was the great preacher Dr. Barnhouse, a great minister of the gospel, made the statement that Christ can be found on about every page of the Old Testament. Time doesn't permit me to find Him on every page. Neither do we have time to show Him in all the types and shadows of the Old Testament, such as the tabernacle, of all of the pieces of furniture and the post and the way they were arranged. It all spoke of Him. This message this morning is to take a look at just two men that God raised up and used them, but their lives had amazing similar characteristics that Jesus had, that when He came. If there is a character that perhaps represents Jesus the most, the one that gets most the attention is usually Joseph. Joseph is the one that has so many amazing things that happen in his life that were exactly what happened in the life of Jesus. But I'm going to just take two characters, well known, and to show how many things in their lives spoke of Jesus as well. When we say we would see Jesus, you can find him in these people's lives. The first one I want to deal with is the subject or the man Moses. It even says that God would raise up a prophet like unto Moses, which was Jesus, was the fulfillment of that prophecy. Moses was a servant and a prophet of God whose life and faith and leadership were exceeded by few people. In leading the Israelites out of Egypt and to the Promised Land, Moses' life shows time and time again that he is one of the greatest types and shadows of Jesus Christ in Scripture. So when we would see Jesus, let's find him in these characters that God raised up. So I have maybe 5 or 6 points about Moses that show how he represents Christ. The first one is that officials wanted him dead from his birth. We read that the Pharaoh of Egypt during Moses' life saw that the children of Israel were growing within his borders, and he wanted to have some population control. And so Pharaoh, he inflicted harsh slavery upon them and started a campaign to genocide and to wipe out the male children of Israel. Because the Bible says there rose up a king that knew not Joseph. And that king that knew not Joseph didn't have the relationship with the children of Israel, became threatened by him. And we read in the scriptures, and he said unto his people, "Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they may join also our enemies, and they might fight against us. And so get them up, we're going to have to weed them out of our land." But the more the Bible says they afflicted these Jews, the children of Abraham, and afflicted them, it says the more they multiplied and grew. Eventually it came to this in Exodus chapter 1, verses 8 through 22, we find these words. "And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, Every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive." We know from the story that God arranged an escape plan for Moses. In the same way, his life was prophetic that would speak about Jesus when he would be born. Because when Jesus was an infant, he too faced genocide or a genocidal campaign at the hands of King Herod. In Matthew chapter 2, verses 8 through 20, we read, "Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and there, and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under." It happened in Christ the same way. Number two, just as Moses gives up his royal position, a great place he could have been given to save his people, we read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." So Moses made a decision. "I don't want this position of luxury and power and all of the entities that come with it." He forsook Egypt. In the same way, Jesus, the Son of God, and God himself surrendered his divine state literally. And he became human. Like Moses, Jesus did not have to become human. because he chose it was the only way that humanity could be saved. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he himself, but made of himself no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Hebrews 2, 9 and 10. "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man, for it became him for whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." In the same way that Moses gave up royalty and a position and chose to be with God's people, Jesus gave up glory and willingly, with the agreement with his Father, we find these words, "It is written of me in the volume of thy book, I come to do thy will, O God, thy law is within my heart." Jesus gave up glory like Moses gave up to come and to save us. Number three, Moses had a unique relationship with God unlike anyone else. Likewise, Jesus Christ himself had a relationship with God the Father that no one in the Bible has ever had. Jesus says in John 6, 46, "Not that any man hath seen the Father except me," Jesus says, "save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father." Likewise, Moses, who was just a man and a prophet of God, he received a special distinction from the Lord as well. We find this in the story of Numbers chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. Remember when Moses said, "Lord, if I found favor in you, let me see your glory." And God said, if you recall, "Moses, no man has ever seen my glory, else he die." And he said, "Hear now my words," Numbers 12, 6 through 8, "If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision. And I will speak unto him in a dream. But my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful on my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold." Unlike other prophets in Scripture, we know that the Lord spoke directly to Moses. And we also know that when Moses requested to see God's glory, God did not grant him his full request, but he did let him see his hindquarters. As God passed by, as Moses hid in the rock, he was able to see whatever your imagination can see. But Moses saw part of God on earth in his full glory of goodness. And in the similar way, Jesus, who is fully man and fully God, was the only one who has ever seen God face to face. Number four, how is Moses quite like Jesus? It comes into the category of performing miracles. It is difficult to find any person in the Bible who performed more miracles than Moses. As God sought to punish the rebellious pagan Pharaoh for refusing to free the Israelites, Moses was alive and during when the manna fell and the water that came out of the rock, and during those 40 years there was none sick among them, and that means there had to be healings taking place. And we read of Jesus, of all the miracles that he did, but nobody compares to performing and being used in the category of miracles quite like Moses. Number five, Moses delivered a covenant. Moses brought the Ten Commandments, or the entire law of God of the Old Testament, to the Israelite nation. The law served as guiding principles for Israel as God's chosen nation on earth, to be a light to the world and to be an example for righteous, holy living. And it's known as the Mosaic Law, or the Old Covenant. It was the original reputation of God's moral standards and what living a truly holy life entailed. But because of sin, in humanity, no person could keep the law. And in some way, form, or fashion, all people violated one or more laws, and thus were under its curse. Deuteronomy 27:26 says, "Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them." And all the people shall say, "Amen." Jesus, in a similar way, offered a new covenant. And by offering himself as a willing sacrifice for the sins of humanity, he became the new covenant. And during the Lord's Supper, the Passover feast, Jesus ate with the disciples. And just before his crucifixion, he confirmed this in Matthew 26, 27, and 28. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament," or new covenant, "which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Number six, Moses, when leading the children of Israel, they became bitten by snakes. And Moses was instructed by God to take a pole, a brazen pole, and put it upon the top of it, a brazen serpent. And whoever had been bitten and was on the way to die, if all they had to do was look at the brazen serpent attached to the top of the pole that Moses had built, and they received healing. In the same way, Jesus, if we will look to him upon the cross, our sins can be forgiven. And in that way, he is similar. Can you say amen? Number seven, as Moses married an Ethiopian woman, which prompted the anger and jealousy among his siblings, especially Miriam and Aaron, and God was not happy with them for coming against Moses for marrying this Ethiopian woman. God said it was okay. In the same way, Jesus married himself a Gentile bride. And though he came to Israel first, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power. How many know you are in the same way like the Ethiopian woman? We're a Gentile. Now, those are seven ways in which we can see Moses was like Jesus or vice versa. But I want to take another prophet, one that often isn't given as much attention because of these other two, and his name is Elijah. Last week's message about them, when Jesus gave them a history lesson on there were many widows in the days of Elijah, but God did not cause Elijah to go to any of them, save someone outside the borders. Do you know that Elijah likewise was one that had many Christ-like features? And I want us to see those Christ-like features today. Number one, Elijah did not minister and produce miracles to the children of Israel, as I mentioned, because of the lack of honor. In the same way that Jesus could not do many mighty works in his hometown Nazareth for the same reason. Number two, I find it interesting that there was 3.5 years that Elijah was hid when he first went to Ahab and said, "Ahab, there won't be any rain on the land of Israel until I give word." Obviously, I believe Elijah was very close in hearing from the Lord. But you'll notice that then Elijah left. And they couldn't find Elijah for 3.5 years, though they looked for him. In the same way that the miracles didn't happen or the rain didn't come to the land of Israel during those 3.5 years until Elijah shows up and they had the big powwow and let the God that answers by fire upon the sacrifice we build, let us serve him. If Baal be God, then serve him. But if the God that I'm serving is God, then serve him. But that was 3.5 years. In the same way that Elijah did not bring miracles for 3.5 years on his home ground, Nazareth, Jesus' ministry was 3.5 years as well that did not bring miracles specifically to Nazareth. Number three, Elijah was given food from heaven, spiritual food from a heavenly source. I'm going to ask you to read the story yourself because time doesn't permit for me to read all of it. But after Elijah stood before and called down fire, and the fire fell, and then Elijah had all those prophets slain of Baal, when Elijah heard that Jezebel was mad at Elijah, this demonic woman apparently, Elijah took off to run. And before he went on his 40-day journey of running, an angel shows up and says, Elijah, eat this food that I have for you. Elijah ate that food, and upon the strength of that food, he went 40 days. In the same way, when Jesus came up out of the water, he got some manna from heaven. His father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Jesus, upon the strength of hearing that coming from heaven, how many know when God the Father talks, that's equivalent to hearing from God? He is God. And Jesus went 40 days on the strength of that into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And it wasn't until the end that he was hungered and the angels ministered to him and no doubt, I believe, brought food. Number four, Elijah was encouraged to eat again after he slept from the first helping. In the same way, Jesus also received his second nourishment from heaven after the 40 days. Let me go even further. When did Jesus hear from God again? He heard from God again on the Mount of Transfiguration. Do you know that Elijah, when he ran after his 40 days, he ended up on Mount Horeb, on a mountaintop? Whether you want to find the fulfillment on the Mount of Transfiguration or Jesus in the wilderness after the 40 days, just as the 40 days ended, the third temptation of the devil, it says he brought him to an exceeding high mountain. And so you can see the similarity there again of Elijah. You ought to be smiling at me rather than giving me a serious look. This is happy preaching. Jesus was like Elijah in the same way. Number five, Elijah, as I said, ended up on Mount Horeb after he went 40 days of running to get to where he was. And Jesus, after 40 days, ended up on the mountaintop as well. Number six, Elijah was one that he felt totally forsaken. Remember when he was in the cave and he was all alone? And a voice came and said, Elijah, what doest thou here? And Elijah said, I'm the only one that is serving you. He was wrong, but that's what he felt. That's what he felt like in his heart. I'm the only one that's serving you. Now, yes, he was wrong, but how many know reality is perception? And so here the Lord had to remind him, you're not alone, that there are 7,000 that have not bowed their knee. In a similar way, Jesus was left all alone when he knew that all of you will forsake me and leave me. And so Jesus, he was forsaken by all in a similar way that Elijah thought he was. Number seven, Elijah, as he on his last day on earth, when he ascended up by a chariot into heaven, we know that Elijah did not die. And we read where he took his mantle off of him, a type of the Holy Spirit, and because Elisha had prayed for twice the anointing. And the condition was, if you can see me when I leave, you will get what you've asked for. So Elisha has been following him, keeping his eye on him intently. And that day that the Lord came for Elijah and sent the chariot of fire and a whirlwind, and Elijah steps on board, and as he's ascending up, Elisha says, my father, and the chariots of Israel and the horsemen there, I see you, I've met the condition. And Elijah took his mantle off and he threw it down. May I say that is another way that shows us that he is like Christ. For Jesus himself said, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the mantle will not come. The Holy Spirit will not come. And so when Jesus ascended, it is believed that he then went and sat on the right hand of the Father. And as he promised, you go tarry in Jerusalem until you receive the mantle that I'm going to send. And he, Jesus, sitting on the right hand of the Father, as he had so promised, 10 days after he had left, he sent that mantle, and the Holy Ghost fell upon all of them as they were in one accord. Aren't you glad that there are thousands of ways that the Lord lets us know that Jesus is the Son of God, and that many of these prophets, whether they knew it or not, were like Christ. The Bible says the steps of a man are ordered of the Lord. I've wondered if Moses, when these things were happening in his life, if he was aware what I'm doing is prophetic, it's going to be just like the one coming. I rather doubt it, but it was a reality that their lives were like Christ, so that when Christ came, God had been telling about it in so many types and shadows and ways. Let me give you the eighth one. As Elijah came up out of the water and he began his ministry, as Elijah came out of nowhere, we don't have any record of him other than when he just showed up, boom. In the same way, Jesus, not until he was 30 years of old, young now, started his ministry out of nowhere. Who is this one? And number 9, as Elijah, his ministry came and he stood before the king of the land, so did Jesus come and stand before both King Herod and Pilate. And so the similarities are there. And here is the question. We would see Jesus. When you read your Bible, look for Jesus. You can find him in Moses. You can find him in Elijah. You can find him in Joseph. You can find him in Isaiah. You can find him in Jeremiah. They spake of him. But as I meditated upon this, I began to wonder, as God arranged it so that these prophets were to show forth Christ, maybe they didn't know it, but in hindsight now we see that they did. Do people see Jesus in you? Do people see Jesus in me? Because the Bible says we are written epistles, read and known of all men. I wonder if when we get to heaven, I'm hoping someone will say, I saw Christ in you. And because I saw Christ in you, it encouraged me to turn to Christ. You may not be knowing it. As in the same way that Moses, if you'd have gone to them and said, Moses, do you know you're doing things that are going to be exactly like Jesus is going to do? I don't know. Elijah, do you know that you're doing things, your steps are being in such a way that Later, they're going to look back and see that, my, you had a similarity of Jesus. No, I didn't know. How many want your steps ordered of God? He's ordering your steps. And people are watching when you're not even knowing they're watching. Oh, I want people to see Jesus in me. I want people to see Jesus in me. And He will. And so I encourage you, live for Jesus. Because people are watching you. And they're looking at you. And you're being read. And Lord, people want to see Jesus. I hope they see Him in me. I hope they see Him in me, and I hope they see Him in you. Would you stand? It's amazing how God uses us when we don't know we're being used. We serve a great, big, wonderful God. We serve a Lord that is so marvelous that God, since Genesis, has been declaring, "My Son." And He's declaring Him through you. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Oh God, may people see Jesus in me. Lord, I know You promised to order my steps as You ordered theirs. I think I can help in the process. I know You do it without me even being aware of it. And I don't know how responsible I can be in that aspect. But in the part that I am responsible, oh God, let me live for You. Let my family, let my church, let my neighbors, let my loved ones, let them see Jesus in me, that it may glorify You. Father, You're great where I don't even see You're great. I stand in awe, God, when I look back and see Your hand, when at the time I didn't see Your hand, but now I see Your hand. Open our eyes with faith. Let that bring encouragement to us that, God, You are greater, so much greater than us. And use us, we pray, for Your glory. Would You just come as a congregation? Let's just join our hearts together, shall we? And let that be our prayer. Let others see Jesus in me. Little Evan came up to me, and after we prayed for him, and he whispered something in my ear, and I couldn't understand it, and I asked him to repeat it. He did it the second time. I still didn't understand it. He was patient to do it the third time, and I still didn't understand it. So I looked at Audrey, and Audrey said something, and I didn't understand it. And then she finally got a little closer, and she said, "He said, I believe my God can do anything." Where did he get that? Where did he pick up at that? He picked up at that in every moment of his life. He picks it up here. He picks it up at home. He picks it up everywhere. Oh, let Your light so shine. Reach over and let's pray one for another. Father, let others see Jesus in us. Let children see Jesus in us. You know how to make us shine even when we don't know we're shining. But when we're consciously aware, oh Lord, may we shine. May we, Lord, be a Christian. In the quiet times, in the times when nobody's watching, when we don't think nobody's watching, that's when little children are influenced just as much as when we know they're watching. Oh God, let this church, during these perilous times, may it show forth Christ. May Jesus be the center, and what He did on the cross at this church, may people see Jesus. May they see Jesus when we're at work. May they see Jesus when we're at home. May they see Jesus when we're asleep. Oh God, let Jesus be alive in my heart. And let His glory shine forth and bless your people, I pray, this week, oh God. Keep your hand upon them. Let the Holy Spirit rest upon them. May we be consciously aware. May we host your presence. May we see Jesus, because looking for him is half of the answer to the problem of causing people to see Jesus in us. If people see us always looking for Jesus, they'll see Jesus. So bless your people, I pray, with your presence. May we host you and be great guests and great vessels for your Holy Spirit to dwell in. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.